Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans. Oh, wait a second. I've got another caller here. Boy, I think that's... Okay. Oops. Okay. Yes, Sign Guy is on assignment to WWE in Portland at the Moda Center. We got on... Sorry about that, Joe. We were having some difficulty. Sign, are you here with us?
Yeah. This is Dimitri.
Oh, hi, Dimitri. Yes. Dimitri, we have on Joe Young. He's of high-risk wrestling. First question, Joe, that we usually ask our viewers, our interviewees, how did you get started in this crazy business?
Well, to be honest with you, I went to a local show in my hometown of Kokomo, Indiana, and I saw a flyer that said, have you ever wanted to be a professional wrestler? And I think as most of us young fans, growing up, of course, I dreamed about being a professional wrestler like everybody else. But I had no way into the business. And when I saw this, I was like, absolutely, I want to do this. So I gave the guy my name. I was 17 years old. I was getting ready to graduate high school. I was getting ready to turn 18. Everything was looking great, and well, it's just been a tremendous trip from there.
How did your classmates in high school react when you told them that you were going into wrestling?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because they had awards that were voted on by the classmates, and I was voted most likely to be a professional wrestler.
Oh, wow. Can we ask
I was a super huge fan as a, growing up, and they all knew that I was really into it, and they figured that's what I'd probably do with my life, so.
Wow, all right. Now, were you a big kid in high school? Did you turn out for football and sports?
Yeah, I played football in high school. I went out for the wrestling team my junior year and fractured my left ankle. It was probably about a week in to the wrestling season. I fractured my left ankle, and that was pretty much the end of wrestling. By the time it come back around my senior year, I already had so much other stuff going on that I wasn't able to really do much with it. But I did play football in high school. I was a big kid. I was 6 foot tall, about 285 pounds my junior year. So I was a fairly big kid.
Holy smokes. I bet you played center or nose guard.
Yeah, I played center a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what did you think of this Super Bowl that just happened? Quite an interesting finish.
Well, it's nothing that, I guess maybe that comes from being in the business. It's nothing I didn't quite predict, I didn't predict ahead of time. A lot of people were talking, about the Peyton Manning possible retirement. I know that they ended up giving the MVP trophy to Cam Newton ahead of time. So I kind of assumed that, that this is probably where, people don't want to say that pro football or pro basketball or something like that is predetermined. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, I have a feeling that some of those guys, they know what's going to happen.
Yes. Okay. All right. Now, when you fractured your ankle, did you have to have a pin put in it at the ankle joint?
No, I did not. They put a brace on it, and I was off my feet for, I'd say a good 2 months. They wouldn't let me put any weight on it or anything. I was in a wheelchair for a couple of months, and It was terrible. It was one of the worst things, growing up that had ever happened to me, because I'd never broke a bone or fractured anything or done anything like that. So it was something new for me to experience all that.
Now, what was your record in wrestling leading up to this incident? And did you make it to the state?
I had actually only wrestled one match. One match in high school, and I lost that match, and I fractured my ankle. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 2 or 3 days after that.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy. Bad news. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when you first got into collegiate-style wrestling at the prep level, could you imagine how hard it would be? Wrestling's a very tough sport.
Oh, yeah. I never imagined how hard it would be. Just growing up watching it on television, I figured, I think like most people did, I could do that. but it's a lot harder than it absolutely looks, that's for sure. I never expected it to be as hard as it was. I kind of took to it like a fish out of water, though. For me, it was it was kind of easy to catch on. I grew up with an older brother, and he wrestled in high school, and so I kind of grew up around the sport, and I kind of knew what was expected, but I did not know how hard it was going to be until I. Until I tried out and made the team.
Now, how much older was your brother? He was older, right?
Yeah, I have an older brother and a younger brother. My older brother was about 3.5 years older than me.
Oh, okay. Wow, so you got to wrestle in your house quite often,
put on
your own matches.
Oh, yeah. Him and I used to wrestle a lot, so... And we involved my younger brother in that as well, because he's about 3.5 years younger than I am. So
okay.
We're all spread a little bit apart, but.
Oh, all right. Now, can I ask if any furniture was broken in your house?
Oh yes. Furniture was definitely broken. I remember one time that we were. We are going to use a wooden box as a steel folding chair back in the day, and my brother, when he hit me with the box, he also hit the glass shelf that my mother used to have her collectibles on, and he broke the shelf. He broke the shelf and several collectibles, and I remember us getting grounded for like a month, and it was terrible.
Oh my gosh! Now, do you look back on that and laugh? Or is your mom still?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was talking to my mother the other day, and she mentioned that, because we have this upcoming show, and she mentioned that, she's like, "You remember this?" And I was like, "Yes, Mama, I do remember that. I remember the grounding that I got. I think that's what stuck in my mind to make me remember it."
Wow. All right. Well, now Indiana, it had some collegiate wrestling. Not quite as big as in other states. Indiana is known for its basketball at the high school level and college level. They have some good wrestlers. When you were coming up, were you aware of Kale Sanderson and some of these NCAA champions?
Not really, because I never really had planned on going to college. Because I was never really a great student in high school. I wasn't a very good student. I was okay, but I mean, I carried a C average, enough to get by. But really, other than that, I never really planned on going to college and competing, or wrestling, in college. I plan on going either directly into the workforce or trying to find a wrestling job, a professional wrestling job where I could start my training and get directly into the business. Luckily for me, I was you know, I saw that ad, and had it not been for that ad, I don't know if I would ever, you know, if I ever got into the business. It takes a lot to know the right person to get the foot in the door. And back then, you know, we're talking 99, 2000. That was definitely kayfabe. You know, back then, you know, it was hard to get your foot in the door. A lot harder than it is now.
Wow. Okay, I could see that. That was the era of kayfabe. Now, earlier when we were talking, right before we came on, I mentioned Jerry Wilson of Hoosier Pro Wrestling. Had you been in contact with Jerry Wilson, or did you seek advice from him?
Well, yeah, I know Jerry. We you know, we've been pretty good friends. You know, and I went down there and seen a couple of his shows. I don't go to very many independent shows anymore around here. Most of the independent shows I go to, you know, like Ring of Honor, things like that. But I don't do much of the you know, the other independent organizations other than running my own, because it's just so stressful to keep up with everything going on out there and trying to run your own thing too.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, now, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners where you eventually did start going to college? Or did you?
No, I never did go to college.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, at this time, I got a co-host, Dimitri, that has a couple questions for you. Go ahead, Dimitri.
All right. Let's go back to the fondness of professional wrestling. What was the first program or event that just got you hooked into professional wrestling when you were younger?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I would actually say I would go back to February 5th, 1988. I was probably about 7 years old, 8 years old. My mother took me to now Market Square Arena. It was then Market Square Arena, of course. Now I think it's like Lucasville, you know, Fieldhouse or something like that. But my mother took me down there, and it was a Saturday night's main event taping. And it was the rematch between Hogan and Andre, with the fake ref and DiBiase and you know, and Earl and Dave Hebner. And I was so intrigued in that whole situation and what went down. And, of course, I was a huge Hulkamaniac growing up. And, you know, I just thought it was terrible. You know, the whole time that, you know, the Hogan lost, he got robbed, you know, it was a big thing. So I think that was probably the first thing that really got me, you know, really into it.
Cool. And you grew up in the Indiana area?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I noticed that most of it said it's a strong wrestling basis among kids. So when you were younger, was there any other friends of yours that had the same aspirations for professional wrestling or love for it like you did?
Yeah, there was one guy that we went to school together. His name was Shannon. He was a real nice guy. He was you know, real buff, real, you know, real tall, nice, and had everything you know, that you could have wanted to be a professional wrestler. He had the look, that was for sure. We used to work out together all the time. He just never you know, when I broke into the business, I told him, I said, hey, this is, you know, what I'm doing. Here's how I'm doing it. And, you know, you're more than welcome to join me. And I never heard from him. So I don't know if, you know, if he just didn't want to do it, or if he just didn't think he could make it, or, you know, or what the exact situation was. But, no, I never heard from him again. But other than him, we were a minority, actually, probably at our school. Wrestling, and especially professional wrestling, it wasn't that big. You know, people didn't care, you know, so much about it. You know, every now and then you'd see, you know, of course, especially in the, you know, mid late 90s, you'd see that, you know, a Stone Cold shirt or something like that. But it was more just a rebel against authority. They didn't care for the, you know, for what wrestling was.
Okay, because yeah, I figured like. Say, with that growing up, would that you be able to have friends? Or, because I was going to ask, besides that, was there any other friends that you grew up with that joined the wrestling with you? But that seemed like they answered that. But also besides that, I think that's real cool that you still got the acknowledgement, though, even if it wasn't popular, that you most likely become a professional wrestler as growing up, and you are living that golden dream.
Yeah, and I truly am living the golden dream. You know, now running my own wrestling company is something that I never thought of when I started this. You know, 15 years ago, I never thought of, you know, ever running my own wrestling, you know, organization. I thought I'd be a wrestler all my life, you know, so.
Definitely. Have you been with CHRW from the beginning, or?
Well, no, Carson High Risk Wrestling was established actually in the state of Washington by a man named Damian Michaels. He was a mentor to me. He was a really good friend, too. He passed away. He brought Caution High Risk Wrestling to Indiana to start, basically to start the Indiana chapter of his life. He had some family here, and they were supposed to help him with Caution High Risk Wrestling, and it didn't pan out. You know, they didn't really basically understood what, you know, what the wrestling business was and what, you know, you had to do to, you know, to make it in this business and to keep a company afloat. And I met him at another wrestling promotion show. He was working the show and I was working the show, and we met. And he goes, you know, I own my own wrestling organization. And I said, you do? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, it's Caution High Risk Wrestling. He goes, and we're based out of Wabash, which is was not too far. It was probably about, I'd say, about a 30-minute drive from where we were wrestling that time. And I said, really? I said, well, I just live, you know, about an hour and a half away. I said, would you need any help? And he goes, absolutely. I definitely need some help. So we become, real good friends, and I was wrestling for him for, I'd say a good 4 or 5 years before he passed away.
Cool, because, yeah, I recognized his name just like I was going through, say, gathering information about that promotion, and I recognized another name from the Pacific Northwest, like the player J.T. Evans. And I was wondering, have you ever had a chance to make your way out to the Pacific Northwest to wrestle, or just they were the two that came out there to that area?
No, actually, I wrestled out in California when I first started. I wrestled out in California one time. Let me tell you something. The crowd and the way things were out there was a lot different than they were here. And so I don't know. It wasn't the best match I ever had in my life. You know what I mean? But it was definitely a learning experience. I think anytime as a wrestler, you need to be in the ring with a guy who is equally as good as you or who is better than you, and you will learn something.
And that
was definitely the case there. You know, my opponent, I cannot even remember his name. I apologize. He was obviously much better. I think he had, you know, quite a bit more time. I was still pretty green. I'd only been in the business for about 2.5 years. It was an interesting trip out west.
Well, it's pretty cool to learn. Like I said, I didn't know about that information about Damien bringing it out from over here to over there. So that's, I like that, say, like learning new bits of information from every aspect of wrestling and every promotion that we get a chance to with the wrestlers that we interview. And I was just wondering, have there been any other states you traveled to besides California, Indiana then for gigs?
Oh yeah, I've wrestled Ohio, Michigan. I can't even count them all. I've lost count over, you know. I wrestled me and Damian one week. He got a booking in Canada, and he asked me if I wanted to go with him, and of course, why the hell not? So we went up there to Canada, and it was a unique experience because I guess a couple of 2 or 3 guys didn't show up or whatever for the card, and they needed extra guys, so I ended up getting to work in Canada too. And
I love that crowd up there.
And there's no, yeah, you have, you know, I have no, you know, I have no background out, you know, up there or anything. So these people have no idea who I am. You know, it was, you talk about not getting over.
But yeah, that's good to hear, especially that wrestlers do get a chance to travel and move outside of their box instead of staying within their area to try to get, you know, get out there, because I believe more exposure, the more you can learn and grow. So I'm definitely glad to hear that. I might have to pass it back to QT because I got to pick up a wrestler, and hopefully I make it back in time to get back with you. If not, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Hi, Mighty Joe Young, and we'll be keeping in touch.
All right, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Yes, Joe, I think Dimitri has to pick up his son, Zay, and he wrestles for Everett High School and is doing quite well. Yes. And he's also an MAA participant. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, here's one. A question I was going to ask. Do you have top-notch referees, in your opinion, at Caution High Risk Wrestling, and what do you look for in a referee?
That's a really good question. We have a gentleman who has been reffing for about 5 years. He refs for us for about four. Damien, actually, who was a tremendous wrestler, probably one of the best independent guys probably to never make it to the big time. He was really that good, and he taught this ref how to bump. He taught him, you know, everything that, you know, that you need to know as a ref. And I think one of the things that I look for in a ref is I look for a ref who can communicate as well with the wrestler as the wrestler communicates with the ref. Because I've always said that in any match, that you have, it takes three great people. You know, it takes two great wrestlers and it takes a great ref. And like I said, one of the things I look for is I look for that communication between the wrestler and the ref. Obviously, not so much that you can see it necessarily through the product itself, but more, you know, more closely behind the scenes aspect of it.
And you said his name was Damien?
Yeah, his name was Damien Michaels. He was originally from the Washington area. He's the founder and creator of Caution High Risk Wrestling, and he was just tremendously a great man. He was a mentor. He taught me a lot of things. Anytime that you're in the ring, or, you know, even in a training session in the ring with someone who's better than you, you're going to learn something.
Wow, okay.
I remember the very first time I ever saw him do a moonsault. I told him, I was like, there's no way I could ever do a moonsault. You know what I mean? Because I was about 300 pounds, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this 300-pound guy ain't doing a moonsault, you know? And he's like, look, it's not that hard. You can do it, you know? And he gave me the faith and the courage to do it. And I tell you what, I've done the moonsault, and it didn't look so bad. You know, it didn't look the greatest, but it didn't look so bad. I've seen worse moonsaults. So I was real proud, you know, that I was able to do things like that. And like I said, he taught me a lot about the in-ring aspect, the psychology of professional wrestling, and the backstage, promotion aspect of it as well, which now that since I'm doing it on my own without him, I thank him for doing that and taking that time to teach me all those things, because it's something he sure as hell didn't have to do.
All right. Sounds like a nice person. Was Damien, was he ever injured in the line of duty while refereeing?
Well, Damien didn't ref much. He was a wrestler, and he wrestled his own character, the Damien Michaels character. But he would wrestle four or five different other gimmicks, you know, under masks and stuff like that. So he was out there all the time. But he was just overall, he was just a great wrestler. Definitely had a mind for the business, which I think that's something that you have to have. You know, you can have a lot of talent, but if you don't have the mind for the business, you're not going to make it very far. And he definitely had the mind for the business, and he could have took, you know, the step. The reason he created Caution High Risk Wrestling, I think, is because he wanted control. He didn't like going to other organizations and being under other promoters' control. He didn't care for that. He would rather have the control of his own character. And he was a creating guy. He was always creating things, creating characters, writing the storylines. You know, he was doing all of this for his own company, so he didn't have as much time to go out and do other things. But he still, was able to do that. He was trained originally to wrestle by Jason Styles.
Jason Styles.
Out of California. And he was a great student of Jason's, and Jason has nothing but great things to say about him. He really did know what he was doing. He started real young, and he had the look, and he was able to make it. He could have used a little more height. Had he been another inch or two taller, I think possibly he might even have made one of the big two or three at the time. But the same thing with your Daniel Bryans and stuff like that. They're just smaller guys, and they're just not given the shot sometimes at these bigger guys. Vince likes bigger guys. I mean, that's his preference. He wasn't given the smaller guys the shots that they needed, and Damian was, like I said, he was a little smaller. He was about about 6 foot. So that was a little small for a wrestler. He needed to be about 6'2", to make it really to the bigs. And most of the other guys were standing at least 6'2", 6'4",
Yes, like in the mold of Triple H. Yes.
Right, absolutely. And it's kind of funny because that you mentioned Triple H out of all people, because one day I asked Damian, I said, Damian, I said, how did you come up with your finish? Because his finisher was called the Route 666. And it's a reverse pedigree.
Oh, okay.
Done from the back. And it was, I was so intrigued. I was like, how did you ever come up with that? And he's like, I saw Triple H do it one day. He's like, but not the backwards version. He's like, and I liked it. He's like, and I knew I needed it. I needed something. He's like, so I just decided I'd reverse it. And I was like, that is a tremendously great idea. I was like, I would have never guessed. I would have never even thought of that. So that's actually how he came up with the Route 666 that he used as a finish, which is now what I use as a finish. So.
Oh, I was going to ask you what your finishing move. Yes.
Yeah, that's my finish now. I used to use the lights out and the jungle drop. The lights out was basically a reversed F5. It went the opposite direction, and they were on their back instead of taking the face bump. But it was and then of course the jungle drop, it was basically the earthquake splash that he used to do back in the day.
Whoa, okay, very devastating. Yes, wow.
And, of course, as like I said, at the time I was, 300 to 356 pounds, so I was a bigger guy. So when I hit it, it looked devastating too,
Wow. Okay. Holy smokes. Well, you mentioned that you had gotten into the ring with wrestlers that were a little bit more experienced than you and made you look good. Triple H is of that mold. A lot of wrestlers like to wrestle with Triple H. One, because his heart rate doesn't get up that much, and he makes other wrestlers look very good.
Yeah, and I've been in the ring with several guys, and like I said, if you're in the ring with a guy who
you know, who is better than you, he'll make you look good. Triple H is really good at that. I'll tell you another guy who is really good at that, and that was Shawn Michaels. You know, I'm not sure I've ever seen Shawn Michaels have a bad match. I mean, I've seen him have some not great matches, you know, just good ones. But, I mean, he's just all around always had the ability, it seemed like, to, you know, to go out there and make a show a show, and you know, and to do what you need to do as a professional wrestler. He always seemed to be able to do that. So I always kind of looked up at Shawn Michaels, too. I always thought he had a good – Owen Hart was probably the best technical pure wrestler I've ever seen, especially to not win the world title.
Owen Hart, yes. The Blue Blazer, right?
Yes, the Blue Blazer, yeah. That was his first gimmick when he came into the WWF at the time. The feud that he had with Brett with the steel cage match and the throwing in of the towel and everything. Owen had a lot of great moments for, like I said, for someone who was never the world champion of the organization. He definitely had a lot of great time going.
Yes, he did.
And it was very sad to have his life cut short as well. It was very sad.
Very tragic, yes, to fall from that height, yes. Ooh, yep. All right, well, can you, Joe, can you recall who else was on that card on February 5th, 1988?
You know, it's kind of funny because I have that entire episode of Saturday Night's Main Event, and, you know, I haven't watched it probably in about 15 years, and I couldn't tell you another match on that damn card.
Oh, wow.
I really couldn't. That's how much that match impacted me. It just, I couldn't even, you know, I don't even remember, like I said, the other matches that were even on the card. And I'm sure there are probably better matches, you know, wrestling matches themselves on the card. I mean, you're working with Andre and Hogan. You know, neither one were known to be great technical wrestlers by any means. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm sure there were better wrestling matches on the card, but no, I really can't remember any of them.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you could go on YouTube and do some research, and there may be some clips out there. You never know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have the entire episode of Saturday Night's Main Event for that February 5th show that they did. You know, and like I said, I haven't watched it in probably about 15 years, but I actually have the footage.
Well, okay. All right. Well, then after we hang up, you'll have to look at it. Yes.
I probably will now that I've been talking about it.
Well, all right, that's your homework assignment. Yes. We often give out homework assignments on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Yes.
Well, I will definitely be looking that up, that's for sure.
Now, speaking of old films, and YouTube, you can look up old wrestling films on YouTube. I grew up in the Portland area, the Northwest, in the mid-70s, when the territorial wrestlings were kind of hitting their twilight. Don Owen was out in the Pacific Northwest, and we had Portland Wrestling out here that made a vivid impact on me. We had the Playboy Buddy Rose. We had Stan Stasiak. We had the Kangaroos, Lord Jonathan Boyd and Sir Charles. And we had the Germans, the Von Steiger brothers, Kurt and Carl. And we even had Billy Jack Haynes and, of course, Roddy Piper. My question is, do you ever go back to this hotbed of wrestling, which was the Northwest, and look at wrestling matches from the 70s, because they had so much talent out here, and people pretty much got a lot of their starts out here?
Yeah, I don't get to do that as much now. When I first met Damian, like I said, he's from the West Coast, to the Washington area, and he grew up, loving that same kind of wrestling as well, and that was, you know, what was out there for him, to see, and he had a lot of old, footage and stuff like that that he would always show us. You know, and we were always picking up something, and he'd be like, we can use this and we can use that,
and if we turn this into that, then we can do it this way. And it was like, oh, okay. And he's like, this is why you do it that way. So, yeah, we learned a lot. You know, anytime that you're, you know, like I said, even if you're just as a wrestler myself now, it just, you know, watching, you know, an older match or two really good wrestlers, I'm sure I can pick up something just from watching it.
Okay. All right. Now, of course, the role of the referee is very pivotal in any wrestling organization. How about the role of manager? Do you have any Slick Nick Bockwinkle-type managers out there at Caution High Risk Wrestling? Slick Nick.
We actually don't have any managers at all. The only real manager that we ever had, if you even want to call it a manager, was my ex-wife. She was my valet. And she used to stand there kind of like Miss Elizabeth and clap her little hands together. You know what I mean? But she didn't know how to bump. She didn't know how to work. So we really couldn't do much with her. But it was, other than that, no, we never really had too many managers. We, you know, we had a couple of guys come through or something, you know, but for the most part, the wrestlers themselves, and like I said, we got a couple of referees, but that's about it.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who your ring announcer is, or do you have more than one?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny that you say that, because I've done a lot of it before. I've done it myself. You know, I just won't wrestle that night or whatever, and I've done it myself. We've brought in guys to do it. We hired a guy for a while. He was there for about 6 months to a year. He wasn't bad. There's a couple of other, you know, guys who have come in and done it for us over the years. But for the most part, Damien would always just put a microphone on someone in the back and make them do it, and no one ever seemed like they could catch on that it was, you know, one of the wrestlers in the back, you know, announcing all these guys. No one ever, you know, put the two and two together that, hey, that's the same voice I hear out there when he's cutting the promo. So
Oh okay. All right, well, what is the name of the building that you hold most of your events in?
It's called the High Risk Hotel. The original building will be tore down, I believe, sometime this year. We moved out of the building after Damien died, so now we're in the Peru Logan Sport area, still not too far from Wabash, which is where Damien originally had the High Risk Hotel. Right now, it's we hold our a lot of our events at the Indiana State Theater, or which is in Logan Sport, Indiana, or we hold them at the Miami Indians Bingo Hall, which is in Peru, Indiana.
Oh, wow. The Bingo Hall. Okay. Very nice. All right. Now, have you ever been to the Cauliflower Alley Club, of which B. Brian Blair is president?
No, I have not.
Is it one of your missions or goals in the future to go to the Cauliflower Alley Club?
Yes, it definitely is. I would definitely like to do that. There's a lot of things that I would like to do. I have a wife and three kids, and they're all young kids too. Hopefully aspiring to be professional wrestlers as well. But overall, if I could get the time to do something like that, I would definitely love to. But I just have so much on my plate right now that I just don't see it happening.
Well, now, it's very natural, of course, for kids to test their strength, especially brothers. What will happen if some of your sons break your wife's or ex-wife or significant other's figurines, like you did?
Well, I tell you, they'll probably get about the same grounding, I'd say, probably for the whole month that I got.
Like I said, it kind of stuck in my mind that, hey, obviously you don't mess around in the house. You need to take that out to the, to the yard or something, but during the winter time, sometimes in Indiana, there are winters where we get, 3 or 4 foot of snow, it seemed like, and you can't hardly get out your house, and you're down for 3 or 4 days, and it's like, well, what are you going to do, So as little kids, you go out and play in the snow, and you wrestle around, and I'm sure that, I have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, and my 3-year-old is a very tough little kid, let me tell you, because he can whoop on them other two, let me tell you. He's going to be the one who makes it, I think.
Oh, so you have a little Paul Orndorff on your hand. He was a tough man.
Yeah, I tell you what, he is one tough little burger. I'd like to be able to get him in the ring and get him going, but I think he's still a little bit too young. Like I said, he's only 3. He'll be 3 in March, so he's actually only 2, but he'll be 3 in March, and he's a tough little spitfire, and he's got 2 older brothers who keep him going. So, yeah, he should be the one that I'm sorry,
kind of hold his feet to the fire, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. No, very nice, very nice. Okay. Well, in that event, the first event that you went to, February 5th, 1988. How close did you come to Andre the Giant, or how close did he come when he passed you? Did you have, front row seats?
No, our seats weren't front row, but I know now that my mother must have paid a decent, a decent price for these tickets. Back in 1988, I mean, a decent price is a lot different than it is now. But I'd say we were probably, 40, maybe 50 rows back. So it wasn't too bad, but it was enough to know. When you saw Andre and Hogan, you were like, holy, this is Andre and Hogan,
Yes. I mean, just look at the size of Andre's hands. They can dwarf a beer bottle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I believe it was said somewhere that he drank 172 beers in one sitting or something like that. And I can only imagine, that man drinking all this, and he was able to do so much, for such a big guy.
Yes.
And in his younger days, he was able to do a lot more. Of course, obviously, by the time he got to working with Hogan, WrestleMania 3 and everything, he was already hurting by then. But it was a tremendous event for me. Like I said, to see these two guys, Gorilla Monsoon used to say, it's the irremovable force versus the irresistible object, and that's kind of where these two guys were for me.
Well, part of Hogan's back problem started when he tried to body slam Andre. I think he was trying
and
to.
And that would not
Andre
surprise
up,
me one bit.
Gosh, at that time he was nearing well over 400 pounds, nearing 500. Yes.
Yeah. I think he might have been billed at 500 for the match, if I'm not mistaken, in 88 at Market Square Arena.
Yes, there weren't very many wrestlers that were heavier. I'm thinking maybe Yokozuna and Haystack Calhoun. Haystack Calhoun, I think, topped out at 650, I think.
Yeah, he was a big fella. He was a big fella.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of height. He had some decent height on him, too. So he wasn't just, he wasn't just a fat guy, or anything by any means. He was a big guy, all the way around.
Yes, and so were Tugboat and Typhoon. The natural disasters.
Oh, yes. Earthquake and Typhoon. Yes, they were both. Of course, Typhoon ended up being Tugboat, or Tugboat ended up being Typhoon, I guess is how you want to say it. But yeah, those were both big guys too. John Tenta, he was probably about 400. 350, 400. He was a big guy. and again, you know, had some, you know, had some height on him, but he had a lot of, he was, you could tell John Tenta was overweight. You know what I mean? Where Andre, he was just, you know, it's kind of like Calhoun. He was just a stocky kind of guy. You know what I mean? He was built. You know what I mean? Where you could actually see that, you know, hey, these guys just aren't, you know, a couple of fat, you know, big old guys out there, you know, they actually had some talent, so.
Yes, yes. Now, we have interviewed on Turnbuckle Turmoil a wrestler named Billy Rock, and he runs a wrestling school out there in the Midwest. Do you know of this Billy Rock? And to supplement your income, do you do some freelance help at wrestling schools?
No, I do know him. We're friends on Facebook. I'm actually thinking about, just because I don't have the time to do it myself, with everything going on, my wife is actually training to, you know, be a professional wrestler as well. She wants to work for me. And I'm actually thinking about sending her to the School of Rock. It's in Lafayette, Indiana, if I'm not mistaken, which is not too far from where I live. It's about an hour, hour and a half or so away. So I've actually been thinking about maybe sending her there so she can get more in-ring training and ring time and stuff like that. He is a good guy. I do know that. I met him once. We worked a show together. I want to say about 5 or 6 years ago. And I met him in the back. He's a real nice guy. But I didn't know he ran a wrestling school until about 6 months ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Yes. Well, I was going to ask what how the women's state of wrestling is in caution, high-risk wrestling. And will your wife, is she a natural babyface or heel? Or tweener?
Well, I think my wife could be either one, really, at the end of the day. My wife's a very likable person, but I think I want to start her out as a heel because it's a lot easier to make people hate you than it is to make people like you.
Yes, that is pretty hard. Yes.
So I think I'd rather start her out as a heel and then kind of work her way into maybe a baby face someday. But my character is kind of a heel. I don't want to say a tweener, definitely more of a cult-like figure, you know. There's people who will cheer me, there are people who will boo me, you know, no matter what I do out there. So, you know, there's some people, you know, they just, you know, they instantly like you or they instantly don't like you. And some of these fans, when they make up their mind, they're not changing their mind for nothing. You know,
that's
no matter
true.
What you do, they're not changing their mind about you. And it's like, maybe I could do this or maybe I could do that. But at the end of the day, like I said, ain't nothing you're going to do. Just going to change their minds. So,
yes.
I'd like to start her out as a heel, work her into the face. Women's wrestling is very decent around here. We got a lot of decent girls or ladies that enjoy wrestling and some really decent talent. Nina Dupree, she's not new on the scene, but she's she recently had changed her name. She used to be by the name of Destiny Payne. She's a really good worker. She's at every show, no matter what, whether she's working or not, she's always finding something to do. She's a great employee. I really do enjoy having her on the staff, along with a lot of the other girls. You know, like I said, if something goes wrong, you know, they're right there to help out. You know, whether it's on the card as a worker or whether it's something in the back or whatever, they're just really good girls, and they all seem to, you know, want to help each other out, which is good because some of them are a little greener than the others. You know, and then, of course, you got a couple of, you know, two or three veterans, and you would try to get the girls that are green to work with the veterans to make the greener girls better.
Wow. All right. Okay. Are any of them as tough as Mae Young that was body slammed through the table by Brother Devon? No, it was Bubba Rose.
I'm not sure anybody was as tough as Mae Young. Let me tell you, that was a tough old woman. I would have never known. Bubba said, I was watching an interview, sorry about that. I was watching an interview, and Bubba said that she came up and she slapped him, and she said, "You son of a bitch, you put me through this table like a man." And I'm sitting here thinking, that was Mae Young. She was that tough that she, you know, she wanted that. She was a tremendous gift for the WWF/E now, for what time they had her. She was a tremendous hand. And from what I've seen, I haven't seen a lot, but from what I've seen, she was a fairly good wrestler too.
Oh yeah.
You know, in her day. So not only was she, you know, did she do the great things with Mark Henry and, you know, as Sexual Chocolate and you know, and the things with the Dudleys and stuff like that, but she was actually a good wrestler too. So I think that was always in the, probably at the back of Vince's mind, hey, we could have this woman wrestle if we ever needed to.
Yes. Now, Mark Henry, when he was going to high school, he held several age group world records in the deadlift and I think it was the bench press and the snatch. What is the competition where you combine those three events? There's a special
name
for
it. I have no idea off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. I guess it's
just
old deadlifting or something.
I think I'd know what it was if I heard it, but I just don't remember. It's been so long.
Oh, it's powerlifting. There you go, powerlifting.
Powerlifting, that's it.
The sport of powerlifting, yes. And I'm amazed that Mark Henry's knees have still held up, although he doesn't wrestle quite as often now, though. Yes.
Yeah, I think we'll see him at WrestleMania probably this year. And I think I would like to say most likely I think Mark Henry will probably retire within the next couple of years. I think he wants to get out while the getting's good.
Yes, and do you think we have seen the last of The Undertaker in his Hell in a Cell series?
No, I think I don't know that we'll see Undertaker at WrestleMania this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if they book something somewhere. You know, I've heard that Kevin Owens was looking to possibly work The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I think that'd be a great match. I don't think we've seen the last of The Undertaker, but I think his time is limited. And if he wrestles at WrestleMania this year, it will most likely, I think, probably be his last match ever.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yes. Yeah, he's kind of like the quarterback of Denver. Yes.
Yeah,
it's like he's
got one more good one in him. And
yes.
Like I said, I think he'll... You know, he'll probably do it this year at WrestleMania. Like I said, I'm not sure who his opponent's going to be. I'm not in the loop. But I'd like to see Kevin Owens. I think that'd be a decent match.
Wow, all right. Okay. Well, what is the state of lucha wrestling at California High Risk Wrestling? Do you have any lucha wrestlers coming up from California or Texas and making an appearance at Carpenter?
No, we don't have very many luchadors that are coming up. We do have a couple of luchadors who live around, you know, the area, and sometimes we'll bring them in. But, yeah, for actually bringing guys out from the, you know, California or Texas or Mexico, we haven't really brought anybody up. We had Danny Basham in. Couple of years ago, and Sabu has come in a few times as well, and we've had some other guys, but yeah, for as the luchadors for the Mexican, you know, AAA and stuff down there, we've never really used any of them.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, Joe, out here in the Northwest, people are fairly generous, and the Can Food Drive wrestling event has proven very successful format. Do you also use the Can Food Drives around the holidays yourself?
We have done Can Food Drives. The American Cancer Association, my father died from cancer when I was 16 years old. And so it was, you know, when I heard about the, you know, the American Cancer Association, I always, try to help them out. And we try to do an event for them once a year as well. But we've done canned food drives, for local charities around, around our town as well. So we try to give back to the community as much as the community gives to us.
Very nice. Okay. All right. Well, Joe, we have about 4 minutes left at this time. I'm going to ask if you have any last things to plug, any upcoming wrestling events. The floor is yours.
Yeah, we have an upcoming event. It's February 20th at the Indiana State Theater. Children 12 and under are free. Adult tickets are only $5. We have a Women's Battle Royal, so the Indiana State Championship. Also the high-risk title will be on the line. And we also have a Champions versus Champions match where the King of the Jungle Championship will be defended against the Flyweight Championship. So we have a ton of things going on. I believe this is a 6-man tag and some other things going on as well. So it's a tremendous event. We'd love to have everyone there, all of the listeners. Come out, bring your kids. It's a great event. We're rated PG. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate you reaching out to me and giving me this time.
Oh, no problem. Maybe we could have you on the show about a couple months down the road. And I'd really like that. And if you see Billy Rock in the next couple months, say hi from Turnbuckle Turmoil. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. And good luck with your youngest son. He sounds like a Wolverine. Yes.
Yeah, well, he's got to be with those two older brothers.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Joe.
Well, thank you very much, and it's been a pleasure being on Turnbuckle Turmoil. And like I said, again, thanks for having me. That's Caution High Risk Wrestling. Check us out on Facebook, and look for an event near you.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Whoa!